because the gospel renews our priorities, we commit to being a church that is unified around the purposes of God to save sinners. We will work to raise up our children or anyone who is at any time under our care in the hope of the gospel, and by a pure and loving example, prayerfully seek the salvation of our family and friends. I want to start this morning by telling you a story of a man named Trace Palos. For those of you that don't speak Spanish, that loosely means three hairs, and is the nickname for my grandpa, who also happens to be bald. This is his nickname in the land that used to be an unreached and unengaged people group. In 2004, the International Mission Board deemed the Huichol people as an unreached, unengaged group, with less than 1% of the Huichol people proclaiming to be a Christian. For the last 19 years, my grandpa has used his retirement to faithfully minister to the Huichol people deep in the mountains of Mexico. It could really be a movie. Our home church committed to the Huichol people for 5 years, and they stayed with them for 8 years. But at the end of that 8 years, our church decided to focus on other areas of missional opportunities. But the three men who had pioneered that mission decided and were convicted, compelled to stay involved. They did not feel released. And so they individually supported a full-time missionary and scheduled 2 10-day trips a year where they would jump in an old SUV and drive over 24 hours into the high mountains of central Mexico. When they began going to Mexico, there were only a few Christians in the central Huichol village of Tuxpan, and there was no church. And in many deeper villages, most people had never even heard the name Jesus. After 5 or 6 years, there were several new converts, a church was planted, and an indigenous pastor was raised up. After hearing stories and testimonies for much of my high school and college, 9 years ago to this week, I had the opportunity to load up alongside those men in that old SUV and head to the Huichol territory. Just a side note, the transmission actually blew up just about an hour north of Denton on that trip. Now, there were a lot of memories from that trip as stories came to life. But there was one thing in particular that carried the greatest impact for me. And it was to hear the gospel proclaimed in a native tongue as the kingdom of God was being spread to all nations. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the central village of Tuxpan, although the Huichol people have their own language, you can find someone who speaks Spanish. And so it's possible to share the gospel through a common language. But deeper in the mountain villages, the Huichol people speak their native tongue. I still remember that day being deep in the mountains in that village, sitting outside a woman's home who didn't speak Spanish, who had never even heard the name of Jesus. And I observed a Huichol Christian from Tuxpan say, "I want to share the gospel with her." And I witnessed with tears as this young man sat and proclaimed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to this woman in her native tongue. For the first time, this woman was able to hear the gospel because there was now someone who was able to communicate it to her in her native language. Romans 10, 14, and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. My grandpa's involvement in the Wechel territory is only a glimpse of his heartbeat for evangelism. Whether it's in Tuxpan, on family vacations to Lake Tahoe, or his home in Nixa, Missouri, my grandpa seeks to live intentionally aware of those who are around him, and he prayerfully looks for open doors to share the gospel. It is not uncommon to be in a public setting with my grandpa, have no idea where he is, and find him sharing the gospel with a stranger. When he's asked about it, he always says this, and I will hear this echo in the back of my head for my whole life. He says, I'm just planting seeds. This week, as I've been thinking about our church covenant, the Great Commission, and our missional commitment as a church to be unified around God's purposes to save sinners, I keep coming back to one of Jesus' longest teaching discourses in the book of Mark, specifically Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, this is where we're going to land for the majority of this morning. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus uses four parables stacked right on top of each other to teach of the kingdom of God in such a way that gives a clear picture of how one enters the kingdom, how the kingdom spreads, and God's role in the advancement of his kingdom. Would you read with me as we just start with the first half of that discourse? It's Mark 4, 1 through 20. And as we read, I want us to notice this language, a theme, and this language associated with the word listen, hearing. See how often this is coming up in the text as we read through it. Verse 1, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and that's Jesus. And a large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth in the soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, one of the many reasons that I love this passage is because it's one of the few times where Jesus takes one of his parables, and then he actually goes on to give us the explicit meaning and exposition of that parable in the preceding verses. So we're not wondering, we're not left to wonder what this is about, because in the remaining verses, he's incredibly clear with what he is teaching. Verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear and not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Then he goes on in verse 14 to explain it. The sower sows the word. And these are ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown to them. And these are ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately fall away. and others are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things enter in and choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Right off the bat in verse 10, as soon as they're away from the crowd, the disciples ask him about the parables. And Jesus says to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables." Pastor and theologian Kevin DeYoung likens Jesus' language here to that of inside jokes. When you're on the inside of those jokes, you know exactly what they mean. But if you're on the outside, they can be incredibly confusing. Now, I was a youth pastor for 5 years, and students say the darndest things. Actually, this is awesome because two of my longest-term ministry partners in youth ministry are visiting today from Springfield. So as we go through these, as we think about these inside jokes, there's going to be a few that actually know the stories and the context of these jokes. I had a couple students that from the time they were in middle school to high school graduation, they kept a quote book of all their favorite youth group moments. I'm going to read a few of those to you with no context at all. "This is like bacon for vegans." Second quote. "I like spicy raisins." "You're going to die. Just lie down on the ground and twitch." "I don't like the rain because that's when the frogs come out." "Get wrecked, peasants." "We're walking around on dead people. Isn't it exhilarating?" "Don't mess with my sister, or you will experience club thunder." For our students, or for my student workers, those who are on the inside of those quotes, they immediately jump to great memories because they know the meaning and the context of those quotes. They understand what the joke means, but for everyone else, although the words are heard, there is no understanding, but instead, just confusion. Now, you heard the quote, but you have no sense of the meaning. If they heard it, my students would hear it, then they would get it. When you hear it, there is no understanding, which is really what Jesus is highlighting in this text. There is a difference between hearing and understanding. One of the major themes in Mark 4 is the distinction between those who merely hear it without understanding and those who hear it with understanding. If you look at verse 3, you'll notice this word "listen." And then in verse 9, you see again, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If you move forward to verses 23 and 24, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear." And then the book end of that teaching comes at verse 33. "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it." In Mark 4, 1 through 32, Mark's argument is highly concerned with what it looks like to hear correctly. This idea of hearing correctly is paramount to the significance of these parables and their meaning as related to the kingdom of God, which helps us see as we look at each soil in the way that they hear the word. If we look at verse 12, we'll find the key to understanding this whole passage as Jesus alludes to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. If you have verse 12, this is what it says, "So that they may indeed see and not perceive, and may indeed hear and not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Then he goes on in verses 13 and through 20, Jesus explicitly identifies the seed being sown. He speaks of the word being sown with Isaiah 6 as the backdrop, which we're going to come back to after we work through this section. In verse 4, Jesus teaches that the seed that falls on the path and the birds come and devour it means, in verse 15, Jesus explains that this is when the word is sown, and when it's heard, it is immediately swiped up by Satan. So the word is heard, but it is not actually heard. Then in verses 5 and 6, Jesus teaches of some seeds that are sown into rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. So when it sprang up, they were scorched because they had no roots and so withered away. Then in verse 16 and 17, he gives understanding to this. Jesus says that these are the ones who hear the word shallowly, superficially, seemingly receive it, but have no root. And that time will tell, because they'll fall away as soon as persecution and tribulation come. They won't endure. They were with us, but not of us. And this also indicates that they have heard, but they did not hear. Then in verse 7, other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked it out. Then in verse 18, Jesus says that some have heard, but care more about the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of their heart. And so the word is choked out because of it. Again, hearing, but not hearing. But now we get to verse 8, and we see what it is like to actually hear. We see what hearing actually looks like. The seed that fell into the good soil, it takes root, it grows, and it bears fruit. And Jesus describes this seed in verse 20 as the one who hears, understands, and accepts it. This is the one in the story who heard and really hears. Hears with understanding. And so the difference between hearing and hearing with understanding seems to hinge on the receptivity of the soil. Probably leads to questions like, how do I know what kind of soil I've had? How do I get the right soil? What if I've heard but haven't really heard? How would I know what kind of soil others have? How do I help others get to the right soil? And then we remember the key of this text, coming from Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, as we begin to see with clarity the answer to those questions. In Isaiah 6, 9 through 10, the Lord tells Isaiah to confront the Israelites for their idol worshiping. This is what he says to them, starting in verse 9. And the Lord said, go and say to this people, this is the passage that Jesus is quoting, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Mark the heart of the people dull, and their eyes heavy, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Isaiah 6 is teaching of spiritual blindness, dull hearts, heavy ears, and blind eyes. It is true that it takes seeing, hearing, perceiving, and understanding to move towards belief, repentance, and healing, but it is not so simple for someone who is blind to just see, or someone who is deaf to just hear, or someone who is dull or hard of heart to just understand. That is, unless God intervenes with a miracle. The soil of the seeds that do not grow and flourish are ultimately soils of spiritual blindness, deafness, and hard-heartedness. We just sing that song by Ghost Ship called Son of David. And those lyrics read, "The blind won't gain their sight by opening their eyes. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, I want to see. Son of David, have mercy." The spiritually blind cannot open their eyes to see unless God performs a miracle to remove their blinders. The spiritually deaf cannot open their ears to hear unless God performs a miracle to open their ears. The dull-hearted cannot merely receive unless God performs a miracle to give them a new heart. The soil cannot be deep and rich unless there is a miracle to see, a miracle to hear, a miracle to perceive, a miracle to understand. And this is one of the many reasons that the gospel is such good news, because God does do that miracle. It is his work to save sinners. If you read this passage hoping to have a soil that understands, you can take great comfort in knowing that you could have never made the soil worthy to receive God's word. On the contrary, God is gracious to prepare the soil by sending his Spirit to draw us to himself. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit, we would remain blind, deaf, and hard-hearted. And so let us take comfort in passages like 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10, as we see how Christ is revealed to those who couldn't have seen, who couldn't have heard, who couldn't have even imagined. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, these things God has revealed through the Spirit. No eye seen, nor ear heard, no heart imagined, but revealed through the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals the beauty of Jesus and opens our eyes to see the Word. Our ears to hear the word softens our hearts to receive the word. If we receive the word in good soil, it's because the Spirit has opened our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to perceive, to understand, and to receive. To hear it and really hear it. God's kingdom is growing because his sheep are responding to his voice. For those of us in Christ, it is a work of his Spirit to remove the blinders, open the ears, and transform our hearts. And if you remember in Liz's passage from Acts 1, it is the Spirit who is with us as we proclaim the word. Those who have been given ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, have also been equipped with the power of the Spirit who is with us as we are called, that Acts 1:8, to go and proclaim the word as it is his work to open eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive. Because the gospel renews our priorities, we commit to being a church that is unified around the purposes of God to save sinners. We will work to raise up our children or anyone who at any time is under our care in the hope of the gospel. And by a pure and loving example, prayerfully seek the salvation of our family and friends. In the first part of Mark 4, we've seen how someone comes into the kingdom. And we've seen God's role in the manner. So what does it mean for our priorities to be renewed as we participate in the expansion of the kingdom? And that is the very heart of the second half of Jesus' discourse in Mark 4. In these last three parables, we will see that the expansion of God's kingdom is inevitable, and yet he has invited us and called us to participate in this expansion by proclaiming the word, trusting him to grow the seed, and watching the growth of the kingdom. We're going to see this come to life in verses 21 through 34 as we continue reading. This next parable, a lamp under the basket. Verse 21, this is still about the kingdom. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even he will be taken away. He has, and even what he has will be taken away. Okay, just simply, in this parable, we have this picture of the lamp. And we're still seeing this hearing theme. We see that the message of Christ, the light of Christ, will extend to those who have ears to hear. And so, here's the imperative. Here's what we're called to. And so we must not hide the lamp, or we are misusing it. The message of Christ must shine and will shine. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And as a result of proclaiming Jesus, this message, Christ shining, the kingdom will grow. Verses 26 through 29 in this next parable. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps at night and rises up in the day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts a sickle, because the harvest has come. In this parable, we must note the conditions for growth. It is God who is responsible for the receptivity of the soil. And so it is God that will see to it that his kingdom grows. Now, if we look at the man in the parable, he is faithful to plant those seeds, to plant the word. But the growth is beyond himself. It is God who saves sinners. And our God is with us as we show the beauty of Jesus to Denton and beyond. By spreading the word, God will grow his kingdom. And as a result, the kingdom has grown and will grow. Verses 30 through 34. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. In this final parable, we see the kingdom's growth plan through one final seed image. Here we have a tiny mustard seed. And here's the image of that parable. Even though the seed starts small, it grows large, which is actually what we've seen of the kingdom of God historically. This is what we've seen happen in this prescribed method of proclaiming the word and watching him grow his kingdom. In Mark 4, we think about Christianity at that time with Jesus and those 12 and those others who were drawn to him as compared to 2023. During the time that we're reading about in Mark 4, Jesus has 12 disciples gathered around him as he's talking also to this crowd in that first parable. And then we see in Acts, 11 of those men are commissioned to go and proclaim the word empowered by the Spirit. So just a few men, the small seed. And if we look throughout the last 2,000 years, we have seen it grow into a giant plant. As the word goes out, the Spirit opens ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. And as those who are empowered by the Spirit, as they proclaim the word, the good news, it continues to spread. And it is wild to think of the way that the word has continued to spread through the faithful planting of seeds and has continued to yield much harvest. He is moving, and he has invited us to participate in his great commission with renewed priorities unified around God's purpose to save sinners and expand his kingdom. Let us never underestimate how God will use the seemingly ordinary act of faithfulness to share the word as he expands his kingdom. God is growing his kingdom, and we are all called to be faithful and intentional to what he has right in front of us, to the people who are right in front of us. Let us be increasingly aware of those around us, those God has put in our lives. And let us live intentionally proclaiming the beauty of Jesus in the places we live, in the places we work, and in the places we play. The light of Jesus will shine. The kingdom will grow. And we are a testimony of the way it has already grown. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." As a people who have received the word of God, let us be intentional and faithful to the spreading of the word as God expands his kingdom. This renewed perspective leads us to intentionally, in every part of our life, in every way, in our everyday lives, to live in light of his kingdom, to be intentional and faithful in our families. This renewed perspective leads us to be intentional and faithful in our workplaces. God is sovereign and he has put us where we are. To be intentional and faithful in our neighborhoods. To be intentional and faithful in our schools. To be faithful and intentional in our church. To be faithful and intentional in all of our relationships. With ears that have heard, with eyes that have seen, with hearts that have received, let us be a people with renewed priorities, unified around God's purposes to save sinners. So let us together make much of Jesus in the heart of Denton and beyond. Let us pray to follow him through every open door into his purposes to save sinners. As we proclaim the good news of Jesus, let us trust him to expand his kingdom, and let us be a people that watch what he is doing. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you, God. We see in so many ways the way that you have grown your kingdom, God. We think about the fruit of that being us gathered, God, in Denton, Texas, God, at 102 Maple. God, that we have heard your word, God. We thank you that by your Spirit you have opened our eyes to see. God, I pray, God, for anyone in this space, in this room, God, that may be wrestling through, God, maybe what kind of soil they may have. God, I pray. God, we pray and we look to you and we ask your mercy upon us, God. God, help us not get in this pattern of trying to better ourselves, God, but rather come to you who makes us new, who heals us, God. God, I pray that we would be so compelled by your gospel, the gospel that saved us, God, that we would be deeply motivated to proclaim your good news to those around us, God. Seeing everyone around us, God, that you have put us around, God. Let us see that intentionally, God. God, help us cling to you, God, and faithfully follow you through the open doors that you have, God. Help us see the persons across the table from us, God. Help us know that we are clothed and empowered by your Spirit. And it is your Spirit who opens eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive, God. God, help that give us great confidence, God. God, help us move forward as a church, God, living in light of your great commission, God, participating in the ways that you have called us, God, as we just reflect on all of the ways that you have moved and are moving, God. God, we love you, we trust you, we thank you, God. As a church, it is such a joy to gather together and stir each other up for good works, God. God, as we come together, God, in this moment, I pray that you would lead us, God, into the next step of faithfulness, God. In Jesus' name I pray.